Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to see you here today. It's a wonderful day, and today we will be glad and rejoice because God has allowed us to be here, and we're going to worship Him. I hope you received a bulletin. If you did not, I almost want to ask you to go back in the back and receive one for other reasons also, but if you remember, we mentioned last week that we are kind of winding up for our Operation Christmas Child. It's a worldwide ministry that Franklin Graham carries out and his ministry carries out, where we give toys and needed items that are literally distributed all the way around the world. So the things that we get from our church are matched with things that are given by churches, by Christians all over the world, and they are taken to sometimes the most remote places in the world. They are given to these children, and then, in addition to that, they are learning about Jesus. The stories are told. They get learning books about Jesus. And not only do the children get to hear these things, but their parents, their families, and it is a great way to reach and to win people for Jesus. Last week in your bulletin, if you've got your bulletins, look in there now. We handed out this, but we handed it out again this week in case you weren't here last week. It's a prayer guide, and you say, well, they were handed out last week. It don't matter. They still need you to pray for these, okay? And then we also gave you a new handout, a new insert this week. On one side, it's called Fun, Full, and Personalized. It talks about packing a shoebox. On the other side, it's called God's Provision for Children in Need. And it gives a story, if you can read that tiny print. I had a magnifying glass on. It tells a story of a life that's been changed. Nowhere. But apparently out in the middle of nowhere are children and parents who need to know that God loves them, that Jesus died on the cross for them to show them God's love. And that's where we come in. Soon, we're going to get you some shoe boxes that we want you to pack, that we're going to gather around and pray around, that we're going to give, that will be sent off to some children like this. Okay? It'll be part of our worship time. So let's pray together as we begin our worship and keep these folks in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us a chance to come back this morning to worship you. And we do, Father. We just want to pause for a minute and clear our minds and just begin to focus on you and say, God, we're here for you. We're here to say thank you. We're here to once again realize without you, we wouldn't be here. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross for us so our sins could be forgiven. And Holy Spirit, thank you for remaining down here with us to guide us in life, to strengthen us. And now, Father, we give you this time to receive our worship and also to speak to us, to encourage us, to convict us, to lead us in other parts of our lives where we need growth and conviction and encouragement. So, Father, already bless these people around the world, these children and families who are going to receive these gifts one day soon. Prepare their hearts so that they'll be ready to receive Jesus when they not only get the gifts, but they hear the story. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Started a new series of messages last week called Radical Living. If you remember, I said the word radical doesn't mean something out there. It really means to be rooted in. So we're going to be talking about being rooted in the type of living that God wants us to be a part of. Radical living. Today we're going to be talking about radical faith. Look in your outlines and you should see there the first verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You can't talk about faith in the Bible and not talk about Hebrews 11, 6. The writer of Hebrews says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Folks, I can't overemphasize the importance of faith in the Christian life. Here it says, without faith, it's impossible, not hard, not difficult, not a challenge. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to be accepted by God? Don't worry. You already are through the blood of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven through Jesus. You don't have to worry about being accepted by God. If you're a Christian, you are already accepted by God. He's forgiven you. He loves you. You are his child. But if you want to please your Father, now that you are his child, you need to have faith in him. Without faith, you miss the way that God does life. He's in charge. He calls the shots. He knows and is aware of everything in your life, what's going on, what you thought might happen that didn't happen. And he's got the power and resources to meet your needs and to have faith to go on the way he wants you to. So what does it mean to have radical faith? Well, faith is like a multifaceted diamond. There are many aspects to faith. This morning, I just want to look at six different aspects of faith as it relates to our walk with God. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, it's kind of like the hall of fame for faith. It'd be the hall of faith. And you need to read the entire chapter. Person after person who showed faith in God is listed there. We're going to look at some of those folks right now. So number one, radical faith is believing God when I don't see it. It's believing when you don't see it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we don't see. Faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's being certain of what we can't see yet. Now, as humans, we tend to say things like, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. And God says, no, you got it backwards. There are some things that you have to believe in order to see it. When you're an architect, for instance, and you're planning a building, or an artist to create a sculpture, or a scientist trying to send a person to the moon, you've got to believe it before you actually see it. And faith trusts God to make the vision, the dream, become reality. That's radical faith. Seeing it, believing it before you see it. Look at this penguin. I don't know where that was taken, but dude, he just jumped off of that piece of ice. And based on what I don't know how the penguin's eyes look, but he does not look like he's looking down. I don't think he knew where he was going when he jumped. But I'm guessing he had faith that there was water down there and soon he was going to hit it. And he had faith there wasn't a shark around, because then he would just be breakfast or lunch. He jumped even though he couldn't see where he was going. But now look at these next animals, beautiful African impalas. They can jump 30 feet out and 10 feet high. But anywhere, you can put up a 3-foot wall and they won't jump over it because they won't jump where they can't see where their feet will land. That is the opposite of faith. And how many of us, most of the time, live like that? If I can't see where I'm going to come down, I'm not taking the step. But sometimes God wants us to do that. Jump out, do what he tells us to do, even if we can't see it. Secondly, radical faith is obeying God when we don't understand it. And God gives us a couple of exhibits. Exhibit A is a man called Noah. Most of us probably have heard that story. Just think of the doubts that Noah might have had. Can you imagine if God came to you one day and said, I'm going to wipe out the whole world and I'm going to start with you to create a whole new creation with people. I'm going to start all over with the earth and it's going to start with you. I don't know about you, but I thought maybe I ate some bad food at La Hacienda or something. I just can't imagine how I would have felt, what I would have thought about. God said, nope, Noah, this is it. I'm going to start all over with you. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. It was by faith that Noah obeyed. Underline that word faith, and then underline the word obeyed. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. It didn't make sense to Noah. He probably had all kinds of questions and doubts because some of the things God was talking about never happened before. Before the flood, folks, it never rained. It never rained. They had a different way of taking care of the earth. It kind of came up from the bottom. It never came down from the top before. It was watered by a mist. And then he told Noah to build a big boat. He didn't even know what a boat was. He never needed a boat. It hadn't rained. Noah said, God, what's a boat for? He said, to get you out of the rain. What's rain? It goes back in a cycle. There's another exhibit. His name was Abraham. Look what it says in verse 8 about Abraham. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go to a country that God had promised him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. Here's Abraham, 75 years old, lived in a place of modern-day Iraq. It was called Ur of the Chaldees. And about the time he's ready to do Social Security and hang it up and retire, God says, oh, no. No, I'm going to put you in some social insecurity. You're going to go to an adventure of a lifetime at age 75. I'm going to take a turn or make you take a turn in your life to become the father of a brand new nation. I'm sure Abraham had all kinds of doubts and questions. He said, like, where am I going? God said, you never heard of the place. Abraham said, well, how long is it going to take me to get there? God said, don't worry, I got it under control. Abraham, how will I know when I'm there? He said, I'll tell you when you get there. Would you do that? No computers, no GPS, just you trying to listen to God. God, just keep walking. I'll tell you when you get there. Well, how will I know? I'll take care of it. I don't even back out of my driveway without my GPS on. You don't know how bad I am about directions. Faith always involves risk-taking. Some people want a guaranteed success before they obey God. They read the Bible and they think God is just going to tell them everything's going to be okay and this is the way it's going to go. And they say, God, do all that for me and then I'll go. And God said, no, you got to follow Abraham's example. Reminds me of the man who fell off a cliff but managed to grab one tree limb that was growing out of the cliff. On the way down, he grabbed it. And the following conversation ensued. And the man said, hey, is anybody up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe me? Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, I believe. I really believe. But I can't hang on much longer. That's all right. If you believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch. There was a moment of silence, and the man said, is anybody else up there? Every time God tells you to do something, it's a test. It's a test of who am I going to believe, God or my gut? Am I going to do what God tells me to do, or am I going to do the right thing that I think that I should do? Here's the point, folks. If you learn to do whatever God tells you to do, even when it seems absurd, then God can bless your life. You'll grow a life of faith. That's the foundation of building a great life. That's the foundation of a life that will continue to be changed by God. I asked Libby one day, Can you think of a time when you obeyed God when he told you to do something that didn't make sense? She said, yeah, when he told me to marry you. I'm just saying. Shouldn't have drank that one. Number three, first, radical faith is believing God when you don't see him, obeying God when you don't understand it, and number three, it involves giving when you don't have it. Giving and faith go together. The fact is God uses finances to test our faith. Do I really trust God that he will provide for me if I put him first in my life, including in my giving? Many times in the Bible, money is an acid test. It's interesting here in Hebrews that Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of fame of people with faith, the first guy who gets mentioned is a guy named Abel. Anybody remember Abel? Cain and Abel, right? Two brothers way, way back in the time. They're the two sons of Adam and Eve. What did Abel do that caused him to get into the hall of fame? He gave an offering in faith. Look at Hebrews 11:4. Now, I think on your outline, it might be the wrong verse. So look at the one that's on the screen, because this I got confused when I was making the outline. Can you imagine that? First time in my whole life that I've ever made a mistake on an outline. Might ought to save this one for posterity's sake. Hebrews 11:4 says this. It was faith that Abel's offering to God, that he offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. Folks, this guy didn't even do anything fancy, nothing flashy or risky. He just gave an offering. But notice he's listed not because of what he gave, but how he gave it. It says he gave it in faith. It's not what you give that pleases God, it's how you give it. You can either give by reason or you can give by revelation. To give by reason, you figure out reasonably, what can I afford to give? And that's fine, but even an atheist can do that. It just takes a calculator. Know what your income is, know what you're spending, and I've got this much left over I can give. The other way to give is by revelation. That means you let God reveal to you what he wants you to give by faith. You stop and you pray and you ask God, how much do you want me to give for this? The general offering for the church? Maybe we're going to do something special. Maybe it's this North Carolina thing we've been giving things. How can I give? How much do you want me to give? And you pray through it. Maybe you talk through it with somebody else whom you trust in the faith. Maybe it may involve giving when you don't even have it. It stretches your faith. In the Bible, there was a place in the area of Greece called Macedonia. That's where Alexander the Great came from. And the Macedonian church in the New Testament was an extremely impoverished, poor church. But when they heard that the church at Jerusalem needed help, they gave a sacrificial gift to help that church when they didn't have any money themselves. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians. Because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. I want to know this. How do you give more than you can afford? How do you do giving when you don't have it? Folks, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins when man's power ends. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. On every Lord's day, each of you should put aside something from which you have earned during the week and use it for your offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. That's called tithing. You take what you earn. If you want to give 10%, tithing, you take 10% of that. Here's what I'm going to give back to God. That's what we should do. But there are times, special times, when we can give more than that. Special needs when we can give more than that. And God says when we do that, we should give sacrificially. We should have to give up something that we have or something that we want and say, instead of that, I'm going to give this to God. Maybe it's through the church. Maybe it's some other way. Not long ago, a person came up to me and said they didn't have a lot of money but wasn't sure how their work was going to be going, but that they wanted to they give, to make an offering to the church with something special was going on, and I prayed with them. I prayed that their faith would be strong. I prayed that they would understand what God wanted them to give. And the next week, I watched them go to the offering box and stop and pray and put their offering in that offering box. And I knew what they were doing because we'd prayed together about it. And tears welled up in my eyes because I knew what they were giving, they couldn't afford to give, and they gave anyhow. Give, even when you don't have it. Give by faith. Number four, radical faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. Persisting when you don't feel like it. It's kind of opposite of our culture. Our culture says, do everything based on how you feel. If it feels good, do it. And as a result, we end up being manipulated by our moods. Mature people live by their commitments, not by their emotions. Faith is being persistent. It's refusing to give up. Faith is doing the right thing even when you're tired. How do you develop persistence? The Bible tells us this way in Hebrews 11, verse 27. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. You know the story of Moses. He led an entire nation that had been in slavery for hundreds of years, 400 years. He led them out of the wilderness, through the Red Sea, onto the Sinai Peninsula, and then traveled around the circles, traveled around for 40 years, waiting for God to get the people ready to go into the Promised Land. Now, folks, could you be that persistent? 40 years? You understand, 40 years he's leading people, a couple of million people, and all the people behind them are whiners. And they're just being babies. And they're just crybabies and whiners. I would have just asked God just to take them out. I had enough of this. I would have left. But Moses continued on. The way he did it was to keep his eyes on God. Now, a couple of times he got angry. A couple of times, the Bible tells us. I think the Bible didn't tell the whole story. He probably got angry several times, at least. But through it all, he kept his eyes on God. If we want to be persistent, we need to do the same things. When everything's falling apart, God gives us a big task, and people aren't happy about it, we keep our eyes on God. Some of you may feel like you're at a quitting point. You feel like you're ready to give up on a relationship. Maybe you're ready to give up in school. Maybe you're ready to give up on a career or a dream or the hope you had that just doesn't ever seem like it's going to come about. Some of you have health situations. You say, man, I just feel helpless and hopeless. There's nothing I can do any longer. Some of you feel like your finances are so bad, they're just never going to get better. I'm not wanting to be a millionaire. I just want to be able to make ends meet or help some others around me. Maybe God brought you here to say, hey, hang in there. Persist. Don't give up. Don't quit. Now, there are times God tells us it's time to step aside. I got that. But listen, many times people step aside before they should. Maybe you need to hang on just a little bit more until you're positive you have a word from God. Number five, radical thinking is thanking God before you receive it. Thanking God before you receive it. Let me ask you a question. If today I gave you a check for $1,000, would you wait until you see if you could cash it before you thank me? No? You thank me right away? As if you didn't thank me right away, I'd take it back. No, if somebody gives you a check for $1,000, you're going to thank them right then and there. before you actually had the cash in hand. Folks, God's promises are better than any of our promises. And before we even receive it, we should thank him ahead of time for what he's going to do for us. Radical faith is not believing that God can, but rather knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt, but that God will. There's a great example of this in God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. It's a guy named Joshua. Joshua in a place called Jericho. You might remember the walls fell down there. And how did they fall? Look at Hebrews 11:30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around for 7 days. The people of Israel were going into this new promised land. There was an enemy in this powerful city named Jericho, and God's going to defeat the enemy. How do you do it? God says, here's my plan, folks. Here's my plan. I want you to go and I want you to march around the city for 7 days, thanking me in advance for the fact that you're going to have victory. Then on the seventh day, you're going to go into battle, you're going to have victory, and on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times, just thanking me for victory as you continue on. And when they did that, when they marched around the seventh time on the seventh day, listen, the walls just fell down. This is the kind of life that God wants you to live. The thanking God in advance kind of life. Look at these verses in Matthew 17, 19, and 20. Now, this comes from a paraphrase called The Voice, and I absolutely love the way it gives what Jesus said in a way for us to understand it well. Jesus said later, when they were away from the crowds, the disciples asked Jesus why they hadn't been able to drive out the demon themselves. And so Jesus said, because you have so little faith. I tell you this, if you had even a faint spark of faith, even faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there. And because of your faith, the mountain would move. If you just had a sliver of faith, you would find nothing impossible. You know what this is? Look at this. See, you see that hand? You see that little thing on the top? You know what that is? That's a mustard seed. Look at that. That's a mustard seed. Jesus says, if you had the faith of that, you could move a mountain. You see, folks, the thing is, it doesn't really matter how much faith you have or how big your faith is. It is in whom you have your faith that matters. That's what makes the difference. It can be that small, but because you have it in a big God, it can move mountains. Sometimes God doesn't need to remove a problem, though. Sometimes God lets us go through the problem because he wants to strengthen us. He's more interested in building our character than making us comfortable. But sometimes he'll move the mountain even when we have a little faith if we place it in him. Radical faith is number 6. Faith is trusting God, even if I don't get it. Trusting God, even if I don't get it. Some people try to make God like a vending machine, that he's just supposed to give us whatever we want. But he's not like that. Not at all. As a parent, if you were a parent or a grandparent, or if you had nieces and nephews, did you give your child everything they asked for when they wanted it? Did you? No. Absolutely not. Folks, anybody can trust God when things aren't going great. When things are going great, no problem. But when you're out of cash or when you're not happy or there are major problems in your life, that's when it hits the wheel. The real test of faith is when things stink, when you lost your job. That is a test of ultimate faith. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Why? Because God planned something better. Some of you have been asking God for something that you haven't received yet. That doesn't mean you lack faith. It may mean that God hasn't given it to you yet because he has something better. Maybe he's got something that your mind could not even begin to think about because it's something out of the realm of what you could ever put together. And God's got it, and it's just not the timing to give it to you. It's more than what you could think about. And God's just saying, wait. There was a member of a church. His name was Al Pinero. And for years, his dream was to go to Russia on a mission trip to share with the people of Russia about Christ. But Al was stricken with cancer, and he never got to go on his trip because of the cancer. So instead, he started a recycling ministry, and all the money that came in from recycling was used to buy Bibles and send them to Russia. And Al died. He never got to go to Russia, but he sent over 300,000 Bibles to Russia, and the people there received them. He trusted, even though he couldn't go to Russia, he trusted God, and God had a better idea. I think if Al gone to Russia, there's no way he could have reached 300,000 people. No way. And God had a better idea. He became a part of that idea, and there's no telling how many people God had a chance to share the good news with through those Bibles that he made. Folks, what do you need to have radical faith? You need to believe God when you don't see it? Do you need to obey God when you don't understand it? Do you need to give to God when you don't have it? Do you need to persist with God when you don't feel like it? Do you need to thank God before you receive it? Do you need to trust God even if you don't get it? Do you need to trust God even though you don't get it? Or are you going to trust Jesus when it looks like you will fall on your face if you do? The end of your outline says, what do you need to do to be practicing radical faith? And then I want you to make a decision, make some kind of commitment. From this day forward, I'm trusting God for, or from this day forward, I'm trusting God to. And you've got a few lines there. During our response time, you may get up and do a variety of things, but I want you to write something down there. Okay? All right, let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you love us and you call us to live a radical life. In a good way, it means, God, you really want us to be grounded in you, in faith in you, to help our faith to grow. Father, we admit there are a lot of ways I don't have faith in you, not like I should have. It's so much easier if I can figure it out in my mind, because then I know what I can and can't do. Nothing will surprise me. I feel comfortable and secure. But I realize it also will limit my life and my life's work. And Father, I think this is a prayer that all of us here probably can pray. And so I pray you'll speak to us. Help us to find out where our faith is. And help us to find out ways that we can say, God, I've been limiting you in this way, and I need to just give these things over to you, and I need to be practicing radical faith. Specifically, God, show each of us individually what that might mean for us, and to make a commitment. Say, God, whatever that means that I need to do to change, I'll do it. Now bless our time of response, Father. Give this time to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good to be back. I will say, I think, is Lori in here somewhere? She had a little word of announcement, but is she? Oh, here she is. My goodness, the whole group getting up. Jason, is this group going to sing our closing song?
We're going to do it. Yes, we're going to sing it.
We're going to sing it. Okay? Hey, we're okay? Ready.
We'd like to call our pastors up, please. Pastor John, Jason, Pastor Kevin. Let's stand over here, ladies, so they can get right there. Come on down with us. Yeah, they don't listen well. I'm not sure if everyone knows it, but this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and today is actually Pastor Appreciation Day, and we just wanted to show our appreciation for our three wonderful pastors who guide us with love and encouragement, with hope, and every week you give us a little bit more of Jesus, and you teach us a little bit more. And I've just got to say that I think that Grace Point is so blessed to have these three men standing here today. Can we give them a hand? Kevin, this is to you. That's you. Jason. Well,
thank you all.
All right. Oh, gosh. There we go. Well, you didn't sing the song. Sandy, what was it? We have, last week, folks, you did a wonderful job bringing things in, and we say thank you for this recognition, but also thank you for what you've done for the folks up in North Carolina, Tennessee, up in the mountains of South Carolina. You know, the response has been amazing. Not only did we take a lot of items, but a check for $1,000 is going up there to help those people. So thank you for that. Thank you for being faithful in giving. We just talked about that, giving. And next week, Jason, Kevin, get ready. We're going to have a couple baptisms. So at least two. If you're thinking about being baptized, this would be a good time to let us know as well as we do that. Don't forget the communication card. You can write on there prayer requests. Let us know if you're interested in contacting about baptism as well. All right? Lord, thank you for a good day here to worship together. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come out, those who've been here 100 times, those who are here for the first time. We thank you for everyone. Lord, bring us back together to worship you. Help us live this week as witnesses for you. And we pray it all now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.